Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? Do you think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses. Degenerate into something fool. We just got tired of doing what you told us to do.
Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling, the most controversial wrestling podcast in the world. Tonight we got an interesting episode, but I'm here with Clint is not here. I'm here with Eric and Doug. We're the dream team of wrestling podcasts. And since we're the most underrated wrestling podcast in the world, we're doing a top 10 on the most underrated wrestlers in the world. Doug, Eric, how you doing?
People confuse me with Clinic all the time. It's almost like him and I are twins. He's going to kick my ass if he hears that.
I'm kidding.
Have Boxman edit
sure
that out, will you?
Oh. It'll be fine. I mean, we're live anyway.
Yeah, after the Keith Lee joke, I don't think we could get any worse.
It wasn't that bad. I listened back. Oh, and then we'll continue.
Hey, don't try to justify me. What the hell's the matter with you?
When you get the plugs out of the way, listen to Bossman and Anthony and Smart every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Mixler.com/DirtSheetDudes, and every Friday night at 10 p.m. on Mixler.com/DirtSheetDudes right after us, and every other Saturday on Mixler.com/DirtSheetDudes for Hollywood Hangout. Are they on DirtSheetDudes too on Hollywood Hangout, or is it different?
I think they had the same channel for all their shows.
Okay. Is it tomorrow or is it was it last Saturday?
I have no idea. They really haven't been posting anything about the Hollywood Hangout.
Oh, they must have lost track of it. It was trackers. Anyway, just listen to them. And listen to us every Friday night at 9 p.m. most of the time. Maybe next week 8 o'clock, and then every Sunday night, either 6 or 7 o'clock, and then every Monday night, the three amigos, me, Cliff, and Doug, talk. This time we're going to be doing SFL, so that should be fun. Anything else, Doug?
I'm excited.
Did I miss?
No, because that's all who I've been plugging. Because nobody else will talk to us. So.
Oh yeah, and then do you want to tell Daniel what we decided to do for next week?
Yeah, I was kind of telling him earlier. We're gonna do later on. Say who we want to do. We're going to do a poll for next week of the of wrestling managers, and whoever wins the poll, that's going to be our career retrospective.
Sounds good.
And hopefully Brett will get in here, and then we can get his, or if he's not, then we'll get Clemens.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get started.
All right.
Okay, Daniel, lead us off here.
All right. Top 10 most underrated wrestlers. I'll start, then I'll throw it to Doug, then Eric, and then we'll do the fan vote. And then if Brett comes on, we'll add him in somehow or whatever. So my number 10 for the top 10 most underrated wrestlers is Buffalo's own Lex Luger. Now,
whoa.
I feel like he has to be on the list, but I couldn't have him too high because, you know, he's a former world champion and he's a main eventer. So technically in that sense, he's not underrated. I think he's underrated in the way fans view him and the way people think that he never really drew money when he did. I think that Lex Luger, not a lot of people do him justice, or at least the justice he deserves. So that's my number 10.
That's kind of my excuse for number one, for my number one. My number 10 is Chavo Guerrero. Reason why is because I think he was always in the spotlight. I mean, always under spotlight. He was never in the spotlight because of Eddie Guerrero. I mean, rightfully so. But I think WWE misused him at times. I think he could have been a good world champion after, even after Eddie died. I think they could have used him, and I think the fans would have got behind him because he was Guerrero. So that's my number 10.
All right. I can kind of agree with that.
I mean, well, I agree with both of your guys' picks so far. I mean, I wasn't necessarily I was always a huge Luger fan, not necessarily a big Chavo fan. But
yeah.
I could see where you guys would be. I could see where you guys are coming from. My number 10, and this is actually going to be interesting because his name will probably be coming up a couple of times. My number 10 is Brad Armstrong. Now, the thing about the Armstrong family as a whole is that they were all good workers. Brad was probably the best worker of the bunch. The best promo of the bunch is probably Road Dogg. And I don't think there's really any disputing that.
Yeah.
But if Brad had more of a personality, you know, people have said that if Brad had more of a personality, you know, he could have been world champion.
He always got stuck with shitty gimmicks, too. Like,
That was always the issue, too.
Well, he was Arachnaman, right? And then,
he was Arachnaman. Before that, he was Bad Street.
And then Buzzkill, which was pretty much a discount Road Dog.
Right.
So he just never really got a gimmick that suited him.
Right. And that was always the issue, but he could work.
Right.
And that was the thing. I mean, and I'm not disrespecting his father either, because his father was a hell of a worker. His father, especially in the South, you know, especially in Georgia Championship Wrestling, his father drew a lot of money.
Yeah, Bullet Bob.
Right. And obviously we know what Road Dogg was able to accomplish, you know, when as part of DX.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's kind of an underrated family, you know?
Oh, no, but, I 100% agree with you.
But Brad's probably the most underrated out of the family because if you go watch even his matches as Arachnaman and stuff like that, they were good matches, you know? He could work. He was great in the ring, like you said. You know, he just never really connected.
Right, and that was always a shame.
And I think that's going to be a recurring theme that we'll see on a lot of our lists, is these guys never really got big because maybe they were missing one thing, or maybe people thought they were missing one thing, you know. Maybe they had the look, but they weren't that great in the ring. Maybe they were great in the ring, but they didn't have the best promo, you know?
Right. But All right, so the fan vote on the fan poll, there was actually a tie for 10. And it's actually – so we're actually going to have there's actually like 12 names on this list. So because it's a four-way tie for 10, and then we went to eighth, and then, you know, all the way down or whatever. But the four guys that came in with six votes, so I put them at number 10 as a tie, are Greg the Hammer Valentine, Kerry Von Erich, Bam Bam Bigelow, and where the hell's the other one? Oh, and Brian Pillman.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Wait, Bam Bam Pillman, Kerry Von Erich, and who?
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Bam Bam. Oh.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot of names. I think I'd agree with all of them.
Yeah.
I agree with three of the four.
This is where
the heat's going to start. I was never a huge Greg Valentine fan.
Really?
Yeah, I was. I mean, he was a great worker and all that, but to me, he was just bland. He was a fatter version of Ric Flair.
He was awesome in the ring, though.
He was, but like the longer his matches went, the more boring they got. My opinion.
That might get some heat because he was a very good psychological worker, in my opinion.
I'm surprised he didn't get more votes, actually.
I mean, I am too. I'm surprised he didn't get more votes in the old school group.
Yeah.
But the other three, you know, Bam Bam and Pillman and Kerry Von Erich, I mean, I'm surprised that people didn't vote those three especially higher.
Yeah. I'm surprised at Pillman. I'm surprised at who else did you say?
Pillman, Kerry Von Erich, and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, I thought Kerry would have got more too.
Right.
But he is a Von Erich, so. But.
I mean, we did a whole show on Bam Bam and how he was underrated. So obviously
right.
We agree with that.
Yep.
Kerry. You're a big Kerry Von Erich fan, Doug. I liked him. I didn't think he was the best, but he was pretty good.
Well, his issue, I think, was when he lost his foot in that motorcycle accident in '86, because that really hindered a lot of his mobility.
Yeah.
So, I really think that was the issue.
Yeah.
Other than that, if he would have never had the motorcycle accident, and if he would have been able to keep his head on straight and kept himself clean, you know, who knows what would have happened.
Right. I agree.
But, you know, it's unfortunate the way some things happen.
It is. My number 9 might be a little bit of a shock. I don't think this is on any of the other lists. I have a former football player, kind of a journeyman in the territory days, but a great overall character. My number 9 is the big cat, Ernie Ladd. And
holy shit.
Yeah, for a few different reasons. Because I don't I think he's contributed a lot to the business, especially floating around Mid-South and the whole NWA. And, you know, he's had, like, people forget he's had, like, classic matches with Dusty Rhodes. You know, his feud with the Junkyard Dog was super notable. That was one of the bigger feuds for Junkyard Dog, who was the biggest draw in Mid-South. He's been pretty much, he was a bit of a journeyman. He went everywhere, and he was so good at being a villain. He was a good guy sometimes, but he was very ahead of his time. Because you think of the Nation Domination in like 96, 97, he was doing that way back then. You know, he was talking about the racist white people, and that really got on people's nerves, and he was almost the perfect villain. And, you know, we hear a bunch of great things about the Junkyard Dog and his legacy. We don't hear a lot about Ernie Land nowadays, and he really contributed a lot. So that's why I put him on there.
And that's the thing, too, is that Ernie Land, especially in the Mid-South territory, and I remember, like, I think it was early 82 when they turned him babyface. And they turned him babyface. He was managing the Wild Samoans. And then Skandar Akbar kind of came in because Akbar was the top heel manager in that territory at the time. He came in and he basically stole the contract of the Samoans from Ernie Ladd. And when Ernie Ladd attacked both Samoans and Akbar, the one-man gang debuted and they injured Ernie Ladd's leg.
Yeah.
And that made him instant. I mean, he was off for 6 weeks, but then after that, he's an instant babyface.
Right.
Right. Because it was very hard to get, you know, somebody that was, you know, 6'7", or 6'8", or whatever Ernie was. He may have even been taller. You know, 300 and something pounds. It was very hard to get him off his feet, but. And it took those three big guys to do it, but just seeing them writhing in pain, it's just like, holy shit. But I agree with that pick, Dan.
Yeah. All right, Eric, who's your number nine?
My number nine is Cody Rhodes. Mainly because of his WWE run. As I said with Chavo, I don't think he was utilized right. I mean, he has a legacy with his father, and I think he could have been a good world champion, but I think they underused him, and that's why he's where he is today. So, because he wasn't being used.
You know you're gonna get shit for putting him on the list. I mean, not necessarily from us. Because I kind of agree, especially his WWE run. Like, if that's what you're basing your pick on, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's underrated now.
No.
Just
based on his WWE run.
Right. So
yeah,
I agree with that point. I do see where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I agree with your
point.
Yeah, but this is top 10 underrated wrestlers. This isn't top 10 underrated runs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Shit. Oh.
It's all good. I just wanted a chance
to mention Cody.
Yeah. It's bad enough he's fucking on his fantasy team.
I do agree.
I agree with your point, though, that his WWE run was very underrated. But I also think that's – he was young, too, and kind of green. But, like he made that stuff work, too. Like, dashing, he made that really cool. And Stardust and all that shit. He did make it work. So I do agree that part of his career is underrated. And I also agree with Doug that he's nowhere near underrated now, since he's one of the biggest stars in wrestling.
To Daniel's point, I mean, if you look at when he first started in the company, he's only a year older than me. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I think he's my age.
And he's your age. So when he started in the WWE, you know, he was only 22 years old.
Wow.
So,
I mean, yeah.
But
his career has risen, so.
Right, exactly. Right. So my number nine is Chris Candido.
Oh, that's a good one.
Probably, you know, everybody remember, a lot of people remember him as, you know, Body Donna Skip. Other people remember his ECW run as Chris Candido, obviously under his real name. Most people probably remember him as the poor bastard that was stuck with Sonny.
Oh.
She was hot then, though.
Oh, no. She was... I'm not saying she wasn't hot back then. I'm just saying that age really has not been kind to her.
No.
No.
But I'll tell you one thing, though, about Chris Candido, and I actually used to have, I don't know if I have it anymore. I don't know if it's up here. But I had DVD of a shoot interview that he did, and he was one of the funniest motherfuckers, you know, in the wrestling business.
I bet
but his work in the ring, like, he was one of those guys. Like, he did a power bomb off the top rope. You know, he did the diving headbutt. He could have had a huge run somewhere, and I would not have been surprised had he not passed away. He would have had a big run in TNA.
Yeah.
You think so?
How old was he?
I believe so, yes. How old was he? I have no idea.
He was really good. And I just know it because, you know, like we said, he's underrated. I always overlooked him. But I went back and I watched some, not too long ago, some old ECW pay-per-views. And he was fucking awesome in the ring.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's why, like, you know, a lot of people, and I remember when I did a, when I used to do the Rain Man podcast with Anthony from the Dirt Sheet Dudes, we did an underrated list ourselves, and I think Anthony had him on his list. Well, because Anthony's an ECW guy. But, I mean, I think he would be on a lot of people's lists.
Yeah, I think he actually made one poll. Somebody put him in, I think.
Right.
Yeah, he was good in the ring. All right, what do we got on the fan list?
All right, so on the fan list, because there's a tie, technically these guys came in tied at number 8. We have tied at 7 votes. We have Raven and Lance Storm.
God damn it.
Wow.
Why, you don't want to talk about them, or somebody stole your list?
No, I got one of them on my list.
I mean, Raven got a lot of votes from the 3 polls I got.
Yeah, I mean, Raven's on my list, so.
Right. I mean, and here's the thing. Raven is very, Raven was very underrated in the fact that he didn't necessarily get a big push outside of ECW.
No.
But, he was good on the mic. He was good in the ring. I mean, the whole, like, Raven's Rules type deal. And then the...
That got over.
Yeah, that got over. And plus, you know, when he came up with the Raven's House of Fun match. You know, which basically was a weapons match.
The dude was just a fucking genius.
Yeah, he was a true hardcore wrestler.
Right.
And it's not even just hardcore. Like, you think about, because a lot of his stuff at ECW was his idea. You know, he's just a genius. You know, I put him up there with, like, Paul Heyman and stuff. Raven was smart. And there's a lot of stuff, like, there's stuff, and this is why I think he's underrated. There's stuff that he wanted to do in WWE that they wouldn't let him do. Like the Seven Deadly Sins gimmick that he had thought of.
Right.
And I won't get too much into it, but he was just a smart guy, and he knew the business, and I would agree he's underrated. He's actually number 6 on my list, so I guess we'll skip that when it comes to that. And Lance Storm,
he made
tremendous work.
Yeah, Lance Storm is another underutilized guy. I mean, but he started in WCW. No.
Well, no. Technically, he started in his first North American exposure was actually Smoky Mountain Wrestling, because he teamed with Jericho.
Okay. Oh wow. Yeah, isn't he good friends with Jericho?
Yeah, they broke into the business together.
Yeah, they were the Heat Seekers or something like that.
Thrill Seekers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Heat Seekers is what we are.
Yeah.
But, now the only thing that really hindered him was the fact that he just couldn't. Like, he had no personality.
I disagree with that, though. I disagree. Because I know that was the running joke, but some of his promos were really good, and I liked the "let me get serious for a moment." I thought that was part of his character, and I thought that was a good part of his character.
Good point.
Well, I could see where you're coming from, yeah.
All right. So my number 8 is another man that was in the flock, Perry Saturn. Now, what I thought, you know, I'm sure Dean Malenko is going to be on the fan list and probably maybe on one of your guys' list. And I was stuck between Dean Malenko. I was stuck between him and Perry Saturn. And I'd have to give it to Perry because he does not get enough credit for how fucking good he was in the ring, because he was good in the ring. He had classic matches with Dean Malenko, with Chris Jericho, with Raven. And as a character, the dude was fucking hilarious. I'd put Santino up there too, but like top 5 comedy acts of all time, him in WWE, he was fucking hilarious. I thought he was awesome. His gimmick was completely over. He got a mop over, for God's sakes. And he just doesn't get recognized for how good he actually was.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is that, like, if you look at the Radicals, when they came over, obviously the ones that everybody wanted, or the one that everybody really wanted, was Benoit. Mainly because, you know, he was almost considered the bigger name. But but also, you know, with Eddie, and according to Bruce Pritchard really wanted Perry Saturn.
Wow.
Like, that's who he really wanted to get. Because Perry was the one that called him.
Yeah, and I think that's why he is underrated. Because like Eric said with Chavo, Perry Saturn came into the WWF with three of the greatest workers of all time. Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, and Chris Benoit. Three first ballot Hall of Famers all day, any day. You know, and Dean Malenko's underrated in his own right. But Perry, a lot of people say the Radicals, and they say Perry's probably the least talented out of the bunch. And maybe that's true, but that should not take away from what a good talent he was.
And that's saying a lot because of the other two. If he's the least talented and he's so very talented, that's saying a lot between the three of them.
Yeah.
I think they could have made money out of that group if they made a stable out of them. It really put them out there and utilized them as a stable like they did the Shield.
Well, that's
I'm not
a
comparing
different
them to the Shield, but
No, I agree with the point you're making, but that could be a whole other episode.
Right.
All right, Eric.
You guys are going to kill me for this. My number eight is Dustin Rhodes.
See, I can actually see that more than Cody, though. Goldust was very underrated for a long time.
Yeah. I don't think he gets the recognition he does for the kind of wrestler he was. And he was very, very good in the ring. He had very good matches with a lot of people. And I think he used his gimmick, the Goldust gimmick, very well. He got over. And he did that. It was a very good gimmick, and I think he could have been a good world champion, too. So I think they just used him not right, but he was always a mid-carder, so that's why I think he's underrated.
Well, and you have a very good point, and I'm not going to disagree with you there, but you got to remember also, too, they used the Gold Dust gimmick as, like, the beginning of the Attitude Era, because it was such a risque gimmick. And basically used to, it was, you know, as a heel, he was used, like when the gimmick first came out, he was used basically to make the baby faces feel uncomfortable. Like, he was basically, he was supposed to go out there and make them feel uncomfortable. You know, come on to him. You know, like MJF does to 14-year-old boys. And, you know, basically that's all the character was supposed to do. Yes, he got the character over, but he wasn't necessarily meant to have good matches.
Yeah.
I mean, it was later on. It was later on, you know, when they wanted him to have good matches, like especially when they turned to babyface.
Yeah.
But at first, because Vince still believed in the gimmick, in the character, and the gimmicks are just supposed to get over as gimmicks, not as workers.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's. I don't think there's enough good things to say about him from his days as the Natural, and you know he's always been very good in the ring, and he's he's a weird promo, but he's a good promo too. So I would actually have to agree with that, Doug.
My number eight is somebody that we didn't even think of. Well, Just like my last pick, because I don't even know if Chris Candido was on any of the fan polls or whatever that we did. But my next pick is Gentleman Chris Adams. And here's a guy who was – and we forgot to put him on – if we would have put him on any of these fan polls, he more than likely would have shot up the top five because he was criminally underrated. But, of course, later in life, he ended up being a criminal. But, you know, back when he was wrestling, especially in the territory days, in world class, in Mid-South, you know, and when Mid-South became the UWF, that son of a bitch got over. And he got over mainly, you know, he could get over as a babyface, but he also got over as a heel. In the dynamic duo with Gino Hernandez. And here's how much heat Chris Adams could get. Him and Gino Hernandez had actually broken up, you know, in 86 at some point, like right before Gino had died. Like they were going to do like this, they did this big angle where they broke up. And then Chris Adams actually on the TV said, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." And then a few days later, Gino turned up dead. So people actually thought that Chris Adams killed Gino Hernandez.
Holy shit.
Because they were, you know, everybody was wondering what happened to Gino. And fans were actually calling the police department saying, "Investigate Chris Adams," because he said on TV he wanted to kill him. That's how believable that was.
Yeah, if that's not heat, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Exactly.
I would agree with that pick all day.
Yeah, I would too.
I mean, and the issue is when he finally got to the big stage, when he finally got to WCW, it was like he was kind of way past his prime, and they basically used him to do jobs. And the thing that used to upset me is that when he did the super kick, nobody would really sell it. Like, I saw him on an episode of Nitro hit Stevie Ray with the super kick, and Stevie Ray only, like, backed up, like, 2 inches. And I'm just thinking, fuck you. Just because you're Booker T's brother doesn't mean you shouldn't sell a fucking super kick.
Exactly.
You fucking asshole. But
good point.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Chris Adams belongs on this list. I mean, I thought about putting him higher, but I'm just glad I was able to get him on the list.
I wish I had put him on the list too.
I'm surprised you know who he is.
Oh. I heard of his name.
Well, because here's the thing, and I don't know if a lot of people remember this, but he's the man that trained Steve Austin.
Yeah, he did. Now I remember where I got that name from. Yeah.
And he was actually one of the originators of the super kick. So.
Who was the creator of the super kick?
I think I want to say it was him. He's one of the first people I ever remember using it.
Yeah, I don't know for a fact who that is.
It probably is him. I know it's not HBK or obviously the Young Bucks, but the.
Hold on. Let's see if old Google can answer the question.
Well, Google is our friend, so we can answer any question.
Okay, Chris Adams was among the first wrestlers to use the super kick and was for years credited as its originator.
Yeah, I could see that.
Who else was an original?
So I'm basically like I said, he was the first one I ever saw use it. So I'm gonna say that he's the one that invented the move.
Yeah.
All right, Doug, what do we got in the fan vote?
Well, for the fan vote, technically, number 8 was the tie between Raven and Lance Storm.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we can move on. Daniel, you can move on to your number 7.
My number 7 is a member of the SmackDown roster. He's in line for a tag title shot. My boy, John Morrison. He's the total package. He didn't always have a good promo.
Well,
I can agree
Luger,
with that.
Lex Luger was the total package.
Yeah, no kid, jackass. Let me finish. How about that?
Okay. Gary.
John Morrison. He didn't have a great promo, but it's gotten better. And his in-ring work has always been fucking fantastic. And it always seemed like he's going to win the big one, but he never really got there. So I think he is very underrated in my eyes.
Yeah, I agree. I can agree with that.
Well, and I agree with that. Based on the fact of what he was able to accomplish, and you know, especially when he integrated the parkour style into his offense, into his repertoire, because he was able to, you know, make a lot of shit look cool. Like especially he was the first one to do the fancy Royal Rumble moment, you know, when he got eliminated in 2000, when he almost got eliminated 2007 or 2011, but he actually, you know, almost Velcroed himself to the barricade.
Yeah. And now like there's got to be a Rumble moment every year because of that, even though I know it's like Kofi's thing now, but he kind of started that in my point of view.
Right, and you're right, and the thing is that if he would have stuck around, those moments would have been for him. But I think he had to go away to kind of reinvent himself. To reinvent himself and also to marry a woman that's not a skeevy tramp.
Yeah.
Which he did. Because I'll tell you, I think Taya Valkyrie is a hell of a lot hotter than Melina.
I'd fuck them both in front of my whole family, but the one he's now seems a lot nicer.
It's in gravy.
But
you guys are funny.
Melina just seems like a cunt.
Right.
And his wife now doesn't, so... Good for him.
So.
Eric, you're number 7?
My number 7 is Diamond Lyle Sage.
That might be a controversial one.
I think he could have been... I mean, I know he was like the... he was the main eventer. Maybe he isn't totally underrated, but in my eyes, I think he could have been a bigger star. But,
well, here's the thing, and I think you're basing it off of his WWE run again.
Yeah, but that was towards the end of his career too. So,
right. You could make a case for his whole career though, because you know he was mid card for most of his career, and he always kind of had talent. And in WCW, it took him way too long to become the world champion. And he was over for like 3 years before they gave him the title.
Right.
So, I can actually agree with that.
Because he was only a one-time champion, right?
No, he technically won the title 3 times.
Okay.
But his first time was in 99, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was way too long. That was towards the end of WCW's downhill. Because it was always Hogan and Goldberg that got the title, and Sting. So I guess he was in the shadows of those three. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
All right, Doug, you got your number 7 lined up?
Yes, I do. My number 7 is Hollywood John Tatum.
My boy.
And, all right, here's the thing. There was a promotion called the Global Wrestling Federation. You know, we talked about it a lot when we interviewed Barry Horowitz. And the Global Wrestling Federation, I remember being a fan of, and one of the main guys in the Global Wrestling Federation throughout the majority of the run of the company was Hollywood John Tatum. But he was a big star before that, too. He's another territory guy. You know, he started in World Class, moved on to Mid-South and the UWF. He was a wrestling fan growing up. He's actually a childhood friend of Michael P.S. Hayes.
Oh, wow.
And Michael Hayes actually credits him for getting him interested in wrestling.
Damn.
And what makes him so underrated is that, like, he was a good promo. He was a tremendous athlete. He actually had a karate background. He's another guy that liked to use a super kick. And he was really good in the ring, and he was a great heel. Obviously he's a better heel. But also I think one of the things that dragged him down was, again, you know, like with Chris Candido, one of the things that dragged him down was his woman. And his John Tatum's woman, of course, being Missy Hyatt.
She was hot as fuck, though. She was way out of his league.
Oh, she was way out of his league. All right, so her and Tatum were dating at the time, and Tatum actually, because she went with him to Mid-South. Well,
yeah,
they happened to be paired up with Eddie Gilbert in Mid-South. They were part of H&H International, Hot Stuff and Hyatt International, or whatever the fuck they called it, right? Well, behind the scenes, Eddie and Missy started fooling around behind John's back. Well, then she decided that she liked Eddie better, so she dumped John for Eddie. Because then John found out about it, and all hell started to break loose. So then the geniuses over at the UWF, which was what it was called at the time, said, all right, this is cool. There's a lot of heat here. Let's turn this into an angle. So they did. And then, Jim Ross even helped book the fucking thing. But then finally somebody had enough sense to say, okay, this is getting way too personal. This is getting way too real. We don't want anybody to die. So let's cut this short.
Yeah, I would actually have to agree with that. I think John Tatum was a great talent, and no one ever talks about him, like, at all. And that's crazy.
He never gets brought up. But I will have to credit, because, you know, I went around this past week, and I was asking, like, former wrestlers that I actually happen to have his friends on Facebook. I would ask them for their opinions on who they think are the most underrated. And the person that actually brought up John Tatum, I'm going to give him credit, is the Rod Price, who was known as the California Stud. Now, it helped, you know, I'm pretty sure he brought up Rod brought up John Tatum because Tatum was his partner in the UWF. But I'm still going to give him credit because he helped me, because I had forgotten about John Tatum, and I've forgotten how much I liked him. But, you know, when Rod Price mentioned his name, I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot about him.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was until you mentioned, until you talked about him. So that's good to know.
Yeah. Well, because you had no idea what the hell the Global Wrestling Federation was.
No, not until Barry, until we interviewed Barry.
Right. What were you going to say, Dan?
I can't remember.
Okay.
What's the fan vote?
All right, so the fan vote for number 7 is Dean Malenko.
I knew that was going to happen. Give your thoughts on Malenko, Doug.
Malenko was a great worker. He's a great worker. May not have been a great promo, but, you know, when you're known as the Iceman, you really don't have to talk.
Exactly.
Or at least in my eyes, you don't have to.
I loved watching his matches. So I'll say it now since we're talking about him. He's my number 2.
You couldn't let us just be surprised.
Oops. I mean, I should have just. Oh, well.
Yeah, I loved
it. What?
Your pick.
Number 2?
No,
you
Dean Malenko. I'd say he's very underrated.
Right.
Yes, he.
Because he was.
He is.
I mean, and here's the thing, like, in.
Yeah.
Or go ahead, Dan.
You go.
Well, because, like, even when he was, you know, Bruce Pritchard had even talked about it in the. Because they did two Radicals episodes. They did one 3 years ago, and then they did another one because it was the 20th anniversary last week of the Radicals debuting. Bruce Pritchard called Dean Malenko a good hand. And it's just like, you know, I've heard for years that when you call somebody a good hand, it's kind of like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
I think that's disrespectful to Dean Malenko.
Yeah, like Sean Spears and Cody, they made a whole rivalry over it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really meant to be an insult. I just think it means, you know, you're a decent worker, you're not a superstar, but he served a purpose. I do think Malenko's promo wasn't bad, especially when he got to WWE, but he's top 5 best in-ring workers of all time.
I can agree with that.
Hands down.
Oh, 100%.
That's actually a good poll we could do in a couple of weeks if you wanted to.
What?
Best in-ring performers.
Yeah, we could.
All right, Doug.
It's your turn.
No, he already mentioned his number 6.
Yeah, I picked Raven.
All right, who's your number six then, Eric?
No, I'll switch it.
My number
Abyss.
No, I mean, if Raven's already on your list, that's fine.
No, I'm switching it to Abyss.
Okay.
I'd say Abyss is underrated.
Oh, no, you're 100%
yeah.
correct.
I can agree with that.
I mean, yeah, Raven is my actual number six. I was going to have Abyss as like an honorable mention because I do think he's heavily underrated. I think he was a great monster character, like a Kane or whatever, and he doesn't get his just due. But
right.
in my official list, Raven is my number six. So
right.
so go ahead, Eric.
Speaking of Kane, Kane's my number six.
You know what? I mentioned this to Doug the other day, and he laughed at me, but I actually agree with that.
Yeah, I think he was, I mean, not totally underused, but he was always in the shadow of the Undertaker. I don't think he was ever the guy, like the Undertaker, but he was, he's only been, what, champion twice or three times?
And,
yeah.
And the thing that sucked was mainly like Kane, like in the Undertaker Kane tag team, if either one of them were going to drop the fall, it always had to be Kane.
Became,
and like,
yeah.
But the mystique of the Kane character, like when he first came in, was so cool and it scared the shit out of me too. But then like seeing
awesome.
Him doing all these fucking jobs, it's just like, what the fuck did this guy ever do?
Yeah.
Like,
he didn't become champion until late.
Right. Well, because he did the... well, he had the title for a day. You know,
yeah.
in 98.
Which sucks, but...
I think the best word to describe Kane is consistent. I think he's always been consistently pretty on the mark. So
yeah.
it sucks he doesn't get higher recognition.
And loyal.
Right. Very loyal.
Right, yeah, he never left.
He was always known as Undertaker's little brother. He wasn't. So that's why I think he's underrated, because he was never recognized as a big, big, big star.
Right. Even
maybe,
now, even though it's been,
stuff,
even
yeah.
though it's been, you know, known for 20 years that technically they're not brothers, but they're friends.
Yeah.
I mean, they still call them. They still say that they're brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ! Yeah. People quit calling Edge and Christian brothers in 2003 because it was finally, you know, leaked out that the two of them, you know. Two of them weren't related,
right.
that they were just really good friends. But fuck,
and
so they don't even say that anymore. But now,
yeah.
fuck, they still say that Kane and Undertaker are brothers, even though everybody knows that they're not.
Yeah. Exactly. All
right. So my number six is going to get me heat, especially with the people that did our fan vote, because we'll be talking about him later on too. And that's my number six is Bobby Eaton.
I can agree with that. He was a solid worker. He's also in the top 10 best workers of all time.
Right.
So I would actually have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, like I said, I mean, we're going to be, his name's going to pop up again later on.
Yep.
But I have him at number six. And I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of Bobby's. And, you know, and he was both a great tag team star and a single star.
Yeah.
May not have been the best promo, but that's always why he should have somebody. You know, he was good to have a manager.
Yeah, he had Cornette. He didn't need to be a good promo.
Right. I mean, and he was always like, he was always in really good tag teams, but he was also in some shitty tag teams. But,
yeah.
And the reason why I say that is the whole Blue Bloods thing, where they tried to turn him into a British guy, Robert the Earl of Eton. I mean, I get it was something for him to do, but what the fuck?
Yeah. That was,
and I'm saying this because I was actually a fan of the Blue Bloods, because I like William Regal, or, you know, at that time, Steve Regal.
Who could easily be on any of our lists. He's not on mine, but he could have easily made an underrated list.
But he, and that's the thing, is that, like, so they were a good tag team because they were both great wrestlers, but it was just the whole Blue Bloods gimmick. Was, I mean, it fit for Regal because Regal was a Blue Blood.
Yeah.
But Bobby was just kind of, you know, thrown into it just so he had something to do. But I really liked Bobby's team with Arn Anderson, mainly because they were good together, because they were actually best friends in real life.
Yeah.
So.
All right, to move it along here, you want to do the fan vote, Doug, or that, because that was yours, right?
Yeah. All right, so the number coming in at number six for the fan vote is Rob Van Dam.
Van Dam.
Yeah, I'm indifferent on that one. I can see why people would think that. You want to take this one, Doug?
I could see why people would think that. I actually don't think he's underrated. I mean, even though I'm a Rob Van Dam fan, I actually think he's overrated.
I would go overrated, but I certainly do not think he's underrated.
No, I mean,
yeah, I
personally
think
he's overrated. So the same people that probably want to shoot me for what I said about Greg Valentine earlier, they can also load up the gun and shoot me again for what I'm saying about Van Dam. And
Yeah, I'm surprised
again,
he's on this list too.
Well, he got brought up because when I took to social media and asked for a bunch of names of who, you know, people think are the most underrated, his name was brought up. And when I was putting up the poll, you know, his name ended up making the poll. So it's like, okay, well, we'll run with this and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised he got as many votes as he did.
I am too. But I am and I'm not. But I can see why too.
Yeah. All right, so number five?
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead, bud.
Here's our top five. You want to do fan votes first and switch it up?
Now, hold on, though. Should we do a quick recap of 10 through 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, Daniel, who was your 10 through 6?
Lex Luger, Big Cat Ernie Ladd, Perry Saturn, John Morrison, and technically Raven, but I threw Abyss in there as well.
Okay, Eric, who was your 10 through 6?
Tavo, number 10. Cody, number 9. Dustin Rhodes, number 8. DDP, number 7. And Kane, number 6.
All right. My 10 through 6 were... You would think I'd be smart enough to just keep it on the fucking page. Number 10, Brad Armstrong. Number 9, Chris Candido. Number 8, Gentleman Chris Adams. Number 7, Hollywood John Tatum. Number 6, Beautiful Bobby Eaton. And the fan vote was the four-way tie at 10 with Brian Pillman, Kerry Von Erich, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Bam Bam Bigelow. Tied at number 8 were Raven and Lance Storm. Number 7 was Dean Malenko. Number 6, RVD.
Damn.
You want to switch it up?
Yeah, it's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to switch it up. Let's just keep going how we're going. That's cool.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
My number 5 is Shelton Benjamin.
That's actually a really good pick.
That is a really good pick, too.
And I understand what people are going to say, right? His promo is not that good, which they're right. But the athletic ability that this man has always possessed, and he can make such moments in the ring. And I think it's another one that he was in the draft class, basically, at OVW with John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, Batista. So it's understandable why he got overlooked over everybody else. But he was still fucking awesome in the ring, so you can't really take that away from him. I think he has deserved more accolades in his career, but you never know.
I mean, I can agree with that.
I agree with that, yeah. I can agree with that, too.
Alright, what's your number 5, Eric?
It's actually a woman. It's Lita.
Okay.
I think she's underrated because I think she was always in the shadow of Trish Stratus, and I think if she wasn't, she probably could have been a bigger star.
Yeah. You said Lita, right?
Yeah, Lita.
I also think that, there was certain stuff that held her back from being a superstar. Like, the Kane thing was kind of ridiculous, and her being pregnant. And then, you know, she was just known as being a slut because of the whole Edge thing. So she didn't really get to show what she could do toward the end of her career. She just kind of got put in these bad positions.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, she might not have thought they were bad at the time. Well, at least the sexual position she was put in by Edge.
Spear.
But, yeah. I mean, I always liked Lita, so. And since I wanted to put a woman on my list, too, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I guess I get it. You know, to me, she's not really underrated because she's put up there with Trish a lot, but I do get where you're coming from. So, Dougie?
I mean, if we just did a woman, maybe she would be on that list.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think? Yeah. So, that's basically why I only have one woman on the list, though. So.
All right, my number 5 is actually Too Cold Scorpio.
Interesting.
The cold man?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Okay. He's one of those guys, like, when he first debuted to WCW back in late 92, and he had all those high-flying moves, like, people were just taken aback by it. And then he had the music video, which was really corny, but it you'd actually want to dance along to it. And he may not have been a good promo, although I think when he got to ECW, he actually was a good promo. But I just think that he could have done more, you know, had he been given the opportunity.
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting that the Flash Funk gimmick in WWE. I mean, he tried to get it over. But, you know, I mean, I just think that, you know, it's going to be a recurring theme here. We're putting guys on our list that could have been given, that could have done a lot more had given the opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right. Exactly.
So the fan vote goes to Brad Armstrong. Now, you know,
wow.
He was my number 10.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
He was my number. Yeah. He was my number 10. Obviously, you know, people, especially in the old school group, thought higher of him. And, you know, why not? You know, I was, like I said, I was always a Brad Armstrong fan. So I 100%, you know, agree with them putting, you know, him up higher on the list. But, you know, we already got into him earlier, so we really don't need to go any further into it.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree.
Number four.
My number four, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a guy that everyone actually knows, but I don't think he ever got to the level that he should have been. I'm going with Rick Rude. Great Intercontinental Champion. Awesome in WCW. Great promo. We talked about the total package, and Doug made a joke about Lex Luger. But Rick Rude could talk. He could work his ass off in the ring, and he had that bravado about him. So I'd have to give it to him.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Had not he hurt his neck, you know, he could have at one point. I mean, and I know he was technically the NWA champ. Well, he wasn't necessarily the NWA champion because the NWA had withdrawn from WCW, but he was the holder of the big gold belt.
Yeah.
So he was the world champion that everybody was kind of paying more attention to, which actually pissed Vader off. Because nobody really gave it, because nobody was really paying attention to the WCW world title. They were just paying more attention to the big gold belt, which is what Rude had for a while. So I think had not he gotten hurt, he would have been WCW champion at the time, and later on. But I think also, too, another thing that kind of hindered him, especially from getting back in the ring, was he had that stupid Lloyd to London policy. And for anybody that does not know what a Lloyd to London insurance policy is, Lloyd to London obviously was an insurance company. I don't even know if they're actually a thing anymore. But they... So anyway, when you take an insurance policy out, like especially if you're hurt, in order for that insurance policy, like you can keep collecting money off that insurance policy for forever, as long as you don't get back to work. So Rude had to stay out of the ring because he was not allowed to get touched. If he got touched. He could not, he could not collect any insurance money off the policy.
Right.
So that really hindered his career because then he was known for basically for like the last 5 years of his life, you know, not being able to do shit because of that stupid fucking insurance policy.
That sucks. But he was really good in the ring.
Yeah. And he could talk, like Daniel said.
Oh yeah,
said. So
definitely.
I agree with him. I mean, I forget. Like, I don't know if I would put him underrated, but I could see why somebody would.
Yeah.
So.
Who's next?
That would be you.
Oh, number four?
Yeah.
My number four is Arn Anderson, the enforcer.
Oh, boy.
He was a great... he was a great tag team wrestler. He was part of one of the best stables, if not the best stable of all time, in the Four Horsemen. Best
right.
friends with the Nature Boy. And I think he could have been utilized as a better singles wrestler because he was really good in the ring himself. And he could talk. So.
Did somebody bring a pig into the room? Daniel, are you sleeping?
No, I'm getting there, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, boy.
I'm tired as fuck, bro. I worked all day.
Right.
So... Who's picking it now, Brian? I'm guessing.
No, Daniel, Eric just put his number four in. He's got Arn Anderson.
You think I could maybe do my top three and then head out?
Oh, are you done?
Yeah, dude, I'm tired. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's fine.
So,
go ahead.
So that means I have to handle the rest of this.
Yes, you do.
We both.
Oh,
yeah, we both can.
Okay.
Is
all right,
okay,
give me your top three. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm about to fucking
pass
out. All right. Top three.
Too
which
bad
I
won't be here for my number one.
Well, I know I'm going to get shit for my number three because my number three is Wade Barrett.
Oh, boy.
Because I think when we talk about total packages, I think he has it. You know, he had a good look. He had a great talker, and I think he's okay in the ring. Number two is Rugged Ronnie Garvin, because I'm a huge Ron Garvin fan. And I know he was NWA champion, but I think he was really underrated, especially for his time in WWF.
He actually just missed out on the list.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And
number one,
which I'm sure it's going to show up, but I got to give it to Arn Anderson.
Right. Who Eric had him as his number four.
Yeah. He's got to be my number one. He's always going to be better than Ric Flair in every vest. I know I'll probably get heat from that, but great talker, great in ring. Anderson's the fucking man. And with that, I'm signing off, guys.
Hold on. Hold on there, big fella. Your option for the manager poll.
Paul Heyman.
Oh, damn it.
And now that I'm wrong with Derek's night, I can go to sleep peacefully.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Now I have to think of another one.
Yeah, well, we still got a little bit left to go. I still have to give my number four.
Go ahead.
Christian.
I think you're...
And the reason why is because, you know, he never really achieved the same, achieved the same success that Edge did. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't for a lack of trying.
Mainly in WWE, because we obviously know his TNA run.
Oh, his TNA run was great. But I still think he was severely underrated.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. They could have used him better, but he was always known as we said, with Kane, Edge's brother. But, I mean, they stopped using that term
he was always in the shadow of Edge.
Right. But, all right, so the number four for the fan vote is actually William Regal.
That's interesting because he's my number. He's my number three, so we can get that out of the way too. So he is my number three.
All right, and I think the reason why, and this is why he's underrated, is because he could not, you know, obviously he never really won the big one. I mean, and I really don't think it's through any fault of his own. Just he was never really thought of as a main event player. He was thought of as the guy, that, you know, he, he was thought of as the guy that could have really good matches with everybody.
Yep, exactly.
And you know, because he worked with a lot of decent workers, and he worked with a lot of top guys.
Yep, especially in WCW.
Right. So you know, it worked out for him.
Exactly, and look what he's doing with NXT now. He's still general manager, right?
Yeah.
So he knows wrestling. He knows wrestling talent. He comes from a country where wrestling is big in England. So,
right, exactly.
So he is wrestling in his
blood. Right.
A lot of people compared Wade Barrett to him too, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Now, you technically that was your number three, right?
Yep.
All right. So my number three is D'Lo Brown.
I was waiting for you to put D'Lo in your in that
well,
in your,
and here's
on
the
your
thing.
Left.
And I go back to you know when I did the. When
Man?
I did the Rain Man show with Anthony, and we did this list, and basically, I had put D'Lo as my number one because I think that highly of him, and I got shit for it by the piece of shit that was mine and Anthony's producer.
Oh,
and the bullshit part of this is that. You know, they had nicknamed me Confederate Doug. They had told everybody on the podcast that I was a fucking racist. And then because I named an African-American as my number one most underrated wrestler, you know, because I was breaking character because I was not actually not talking shit about somebody of a different race or whatever. You know, I was,
right.
Because I was breaking character and I was not, you know, making them look stupid for calling me that because I was breaking character. Like I said, you know, I got shit for it. Oh, D'Lo's not number one. D'Lo's not number one. And I'm like, I'm actually putting over a guy that you think I should be racist against. So fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, it was your opinion, so they shouldn't be telling you who your number one should be.
And that's one of the reasons why we don't plug Shaheen's shitty podcast.
I think he only does it, like, every 4 months anyway.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
He was the loser of the Dirt Sheet Dudes group. He was the loser of the THC podcast group. See, because here's the thing. Like, they were saying that, you know, they said what they said. They called me Confederate Doug. Here's what everybody needs to realize. I don't hate people because of their race, their color, or their ethnicity. I hate people because they're pieces of shit.
Yeah. And I can back you up for that.
Yeah, exactly. So if I hate you, it's got nothing to do with what your race is or anything like that. It's because I think you're a no good fucking piece of shit, which is why I hate Shaheen.
Or he pissed, or somebody pissed you off to the point where you hate them.
Well, I mean, everybody pisses me off. Eric, you piss me off at least twice a week because that's how many times I work with you. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, you don't piss me off enough to where I hate you.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I can't fucking stand working with you, but I don't hate you.
Yeah. I hear
that. But anyway, but no, D'Lo Brown is my number three. And the reason why he's my number three is because, you know, he's a very smart guy. He got into the wrestling business as, you know, I don't even think he thought he was going to make much of himself, but he had a good work ethic. He could cut a promo. He was very unique with the whole, you know, head shake, bobblehead thing, and he could go in the ring.
Exactly. And he made a name for himself,
you know,
in that group, Nation of Domination.
Exactly. You know, he was probably the third best member of the group. You know, behind Rock and Farouk.
Yep.
I mean, he was probably even I probably even liked him better than Farouk.
I'm surprised Farouk is now on this list too.
Yeah, I know.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised too.
My number. Have any more things? My number three already talked about.
Number three on the fan vote. The number three on the fan vote is Terry Gordy. One of the original members of the Fabulous Freebirds. You know, really made a name for himself in Japan, too. And he's, you know, a lot of people say he's underrated. He was a great worker. Not really much of a promo because Michael Hayes was more of the promo for the Freebirds.
Yeah.
But God, could he go in the ring?
Yeah, I don't know much about him, but I trust that. He's probably. I have to watch matches with him, so.
I mean, and he drew a lot of money as part of the Freebirds, especially, you know, well, they drew money when they were in Mid-South when they feuded with the Junkyard Dog, and they sure as hell drew money in World Class when they feuded with the Von Erichs.
Exactly.
So.
Number two?
Yeah.
Who's your number
two? Who was your number two again?
Dimalenko.
Okay. My number two, then, is William Regal, somebody we've already talked about.
Okay. All
right. Now, the number two on the fan vote is Arn Anderson.
It's Arn Anderson, who we talked about.
Right, who we've already talked about. So who's your number one, Eric?
Oh, boy. Here's the big reveal. I'm going to get a lot of shit for this. It's John Cena. And here's why. And it's not because of his inability in his ring, in the ring or anything. It's because of what he's done for the wrestling business as a whole. And I think a lot of fans shit on him the last, 10, 15 years since he changed gimmicks. I think he's done a lot for the community and all that, and I think people underrate him, and he has had good matches with a lot of wrestlers. His feud with Edge, his feud with Randy Orton, not recently, but he's had a lot of good matches, especially the one with Edge.
It's kind of hard, though, to say that somebody that's won 16 world titles is underrated.
I said it was, I was going to guess. Yeah, I know. I mean, I get why.
I really do. I get why. And I'm not, like, I'm kind of disagreeing with it, even though I do like John Cena.
Yeah.
I mean, trust me, I'm going to get my fair share of shit, too, because, you know, I dissed Greg Valentine. I dissed Rob Van Dam. And I just called a fellow podcaster a piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, we are the most controversial show, so.
Well, yeah, exactly. But
so I had to put number one, like, controversial.
Right. And then, you know, I get why you did that. I don't see him as being underrated. I don't see him really as being, I mean, people say he's overrated, but I don't think so. He's done too much for the business.
Yeah. I think it's more, he doesn't get enough recognition from the fans.
Right. Now, I'm going to say the fan vote number one first, because we've already talked about him, because he was my number six. And then it's Beautiful Bobby.
Yep.
He just edged out Arn to win the damn thing.
42-41, yeah.
Yeah. And again, Bobby's great hand in the ring, great tag team wrestler, great singles wrestler. There's not enough that can be said about him. Right,
exactly.
That's how great he was. All right, so people are probably going to shit on me for ranking him too low, and he's number one in the fucking fan vote.
Yep.
All right. My number one is going to be one that not really a lot of people thought of, and I'm surprised he didn't get a lot of votes here. My number one is Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, I can see why that. He was very talented in the ring.
He was very talented in the ring. He wasn't a great promo, but he cut the promo of, like, the guy that was hardworking and busted his ass. I mean, he had a great pile driver.
Yeah.
And he was very underrated in the ring. Because, again, he busted his ass. The issue, I think, is that he did get hurt quite a bit.
Unfortunate.
And he wasn't used properly. I mean, he was used fine in ECW. Because in ECW, he got over as that hard-working son of a bitch.
Yeah, and
but
his feud about RVD.
His feud with RVD. But the issue is, like I said, injuries had a lot to do with it. And then, in WCW, he was given that stupid Mr. JL gimmick. And then in the WWF, he was kind of just, you know, thought of as he was basically just thought of as somebody that they were just bringing in from the old ECW, because it was Heyman's idea, because Heyman was trying to get everything. Heyman was basically trying to make amends with the majority of the guys that he had never
put over,
heard that he basically still owed money to.
Wow.
But, yeah, but no, I put him in my number one just because, again, I think he is one of the more underrated wrestlers, and he's somebody, I mean, I was a huge fan of his work, and I really liked the Cradle Piledriver, so.
Yeah. I think he was a great wrestler, so. He could have been.
Yeah.
Was he ever in WWE? I don't remember him in
I know
he
was
won
in TNA,
the light
right?
heavyweight. He won the light heavyweight title on his first night back in 2001.
Okay.
And he held it for a couple months. He really didn't do much though after that. After Jeff Hardy beat him for the title.
Yeah. He was in TNA too, right?
Yeah. He's basically one of the guys that started that helped start TNA.
The X Division.
He's a true pioneer of the X Division.
Yeah, him and Christopher Danielson and Samoa Joe
and Loki.
AJ and Loki. Yep. Some guys that could have been on this list too. Like
right.
Loki. And Daniels, who was on the poll when he got one vote, that was for me.
Right. All right.
But,
so that was basically our top 10 of, and I'm sure a lot of people will disagree with it. And I'm sure a lot of people might disagree with our opinions and we'll get death threats.
I'll post this in Facebook, see what people think and see what their top 10
I'm
are.
More than likely going to get death threats from the people that support Shaheen. That's who most of my death threats are going to come from.
Besides Bossman and Anthony.
Bossman and Anthony, I mean, they might, you know, be a little offended, but Boxman and Anthony I like because I got along with them.
Yeah.
Shaheen and I really didn't get along.
Yeah, the only show we plug is Boxman and Anthony.
Right. But, all right, so even though Daniel gave his pick earlier of Paul Heyman or who he wants to put on the poll, are we going to wait and put these on the poll till after we hear from our Phantom co-hosts?
Yeah, I'll put it in the group chat, and whoever answers first, I'll put on Twitter, and then the fifth one we'll put on Facebook.
Right. Yeah. I'll just put it on Facebook anyway. Yeah.
Answers first will be the fourth one.
The fourth one on Twitter. All right.
Yeah.
My pick, and here's the thing: I don't like. You know, I know who everybody would vote for if we did a poll on them, or if we, you know, if we put this person in the poll, I know who everybody would vote for. So I'm going to go a completely different direction. I'm going to say Mr. Fuji.
Okay.
Now it's your turn.
Since you mentioned that, I'm not going to mention his name. So I'm going to say Jimmy Hart. Is that who you're thinking of, or with Bobby?
Well, I'm not going to say who I was thinking. I'm not going to say who I was thinking of, but you were. I'm glad you went the other direction. So that way, like, I mean, and again, it would be fun to do an episode on that other manager, but I think predictable.
Could.
It would be too predictable to put him in the poll.
Yeah, especially on Facebook, in the old school group.
Right, exactly.
And I think Jimmy Hart would be – this should be an interesting poll. Jimmy Hart, Paul Heyman, and Fuji.
Mr. Fuji, yeah.
Yeah.
And then whoever the other two morons vote for or nominate.
Yeah. I wonder who – for our luck, one of them will pick this other dude.
Well, if they do, they do. I mean,
each
of the managers we picked have a history, you know, in the wrestling business, and they've known. I mean, Fuji is probably known more he was both a worker and a manager.
Yeah, he managed a lot
both.
Of world champions.
Yeah, and he held the title himself a few times. Or the tag
title.
Oh, wow.
And that would be an interesting retrospective. I would like to know more about him.
And here's the thing, too. And like, if people do vote for him and we do the show on him, I get Fuji. Here's one of those things. There was a lot of guys, like, when they passed away, like, I was emotional over. Fuji, I think, was one of the more, like, low-key ones. That, like, I was kind of, like, not necessarily, like, emotional, but, like, I was sad.
Yeah.
When he passed, because I actually liked Fuji. He was actually one of my first wrestling figures.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah, I only know him as a manager, so I would like to know more about him as a wrestler.
Yeah, so we don't want to get into it too much now, or else this would almost be considered the Mr. Fuji show. But if he went, all right, so Daniel picked Paul Heyman, Eric picked Jimmy Hart, I picked Mr. Fuji. We're going to wait and hear from Brett and Clintus.
And whoever answers first will be on Twitter, and then the other one won't be left out.
Yeah.
It'll be on Facebook.
I'll put it on Facebook tomorrow since we're waiting to hear from him.
Okay. I'm going to guess we're going to hear from Clintus first.
Yeah, especially since Brett was supposed to call in but never did.
Yeah, he must have been doing something, but we won't mention what he was probably. No, I'm just joking. Anyway.
You're supposed to be the nice one. Calm down.
I know. Sorry, Brett. Anyway, thank you for joining the show, Doug, as always. We'll see you.
Always happy to be here.
And what time?
I don't know
we
for
that.
Yeah. I'll talk to him about it tomorrow. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to do the Wednesday Night Wars. I have to go through and, tally up the scores for tonight's SmackDown for our fantasy thing. And I'll give an update on Sunday as to what our fantasy scores are.
Yep. And we're counting MLW for tomorrow, right?
Yeah. When it drops on YouTube and I get a chance to watch it, I'll count it.
Cool. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, everybody.
You're very welcome. Well, thank you, Eric.
Yep. We'll talk. This has been a great episode. We'll talk to you Sunday night, probably 6 or 7 o'clock. Have a good night, everybody.
Alrighty. All right, good night.
Good night.